There's something very important I forgot to tell you.
What?
Don't cross the streams. Why? It would be bad.
I'm fuzzy on the whole good-bad thing. What do you mean bad?
Try to imagine all life as you know it stopping instantaneously and every molecule in your body exploding at the speed of light.
Total protonic reversal.
Right, that's bad. Okay. All right, important safety tip. Thanks, Egon.
I am Dracula. I bid you welcome.
You're listening to Escape Adulthood with Kim and Jason. It's October 22nd, 2007, and this is show number 24. On today's show, we interview Mr. Halloween, Chris Riddle, the official Halloween trend spotter for American Greetings, about his favorite holiday. We also talk about candy and childhood obesity, the original jack-o'-lanterns, and some exciting new adultitis-fighting things.
Welcome to the Escape Adulthood Podcast Show, your number one source for long-lasting, fast-acting, physician-approved adultitis relief. This is Jason with my wife, Kim, saying hi from Studio 315 in Madison, Wisconsin. You can get in touch with us by sending an email to podcast@kimandjason.com or give us a call at 608-554-0803.
Well, happy almost Halloween.
Happy almost Halloween. We had to do a very spooky special show for Halloween like we did last year. So, I love this time of year.
I know.
It's like classic childhood.
The leaves are gorgeous outside of our window right now, and there's that little chill in the air.
It's a good time.
It is.
I don't think there's any time like Halloween that brings you back to childhood. Christmas is up there, but the thing about Halloween that's so cool is it's just about fun.
Right.
I think we've been talking about that ourselves lately, is that, you know, some of these other holidays, you know, Christmas or even like
stress-induced
Valentine's Day even, it's like there's so much stress and
gotta get the right gifts
and all that.
Yeah.
Halloween's just about fun.
It is.
We're excited. We have a really cool interview today with a guy who's been on HGTV and Fox News. He's a Halloween expert.
Mr. Halloween. You can't get any more expert than that.
Great. And when you listen to the interview, just his boyhood passion comes out, and it's really cool. And we've got a lot of other cool things we're going to talk about. But let's say we get to the mind bender.
All right.
Okay. The mind bender for this episode, of course, we had to do Halloween related. So here's the question. The first jack-o'-lanterns, see those everywhere.
Yeah.
First jack-o'-lanterns were made out of what?
Well, aren't jack-o'-lanterns by definition like pumpkins with faces on them?
By today's definition, yes.
Yeah. But they originally were something else.
They were made out of something else, yes. Do you have a guess?
I didn't peek. Okay. Oh, goodness. Oh. What else could you carve a face in? Maybe gourds?
Gourds.
I'll say gourds.
Gourds. Okay. Well, we'll find out at the end of the show.
Okay.
Okay. In the feedback section, we did get some feedback from a listener.
Yes. One that we met, in
very
person.
Cool.
Yeah. Brian Murdoch from South Carolina had recently told us that that he liked the sound in the new studio. He could tell a difference.
Yes,
so that's exciting.
We got a chance to meet Brian at a speaking engagement we did not too long ago in North Carolina, and it just so happened he was able to drive up and see it, and got to chat with him and meet him, and that was really cool. So
yeah,
that's good to know that we are moving on up and that the sound is better, and
always trying to improve it.
Always good. So any of you, if you have any comments about the show, if you have any questions about the show
feedback,
or about us, feedback, how we can make it better, we definitely would love to hear it. You can send us an email at podcast@kimandjason.com or give us a call at 608-554-0803. And, you know, just want to remind you that if you like the show, if you subscribe with iTunes, which in the show notes there's a button to do that really easy, then our show will show up in iTunes as soon as it's a new one. And they'll show up on your iTunes. And also, if you wouldn't mind voting for us on Podcast Alley, even if you voted for us before, I think every month I believe they reset the standing. So feel free to vote for us at Podcast Alley, and link to that is in the show notes. And just keep telling people about the Escape Adulthood podcast. We appreciate it.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Good evening. Here is the news for parents.
I look good. I mean, really good.
Hey, everyone! Come and see how good I look!
Our first story today is from the Seattle Times. Sammamish mom urges holiday from sugar on Halloween. Corey Colwell Lipson, a mother of two, is burgeoning local movement known as Green Halloween. Think Al Gore meets an inconvenient holiday or the devil wears a conscience. Whatever you call it, Colwell Lipson's push to replace Halloween's trademark decadence with earth-friendly traditions is gaining ground. From hosting costume recycling parties to handing out items like beeswax crayons, Colwell Lipson's website, www.greenhalloween.org, offers tips on how to avoid the junk food frenzy that comes October 31st. We're simply saying, think outside the candy box, she says. We just want parents and their children to ask, where does this come from? Who made this? What's in it? She said. Take, for instance, high fructose corn syrup, Halloween's inescapable demon. It's often among the first ingredients listed in the many store-bought candies. This sugar substitute made from corn and refined genetically modified enzymes, say that 10 times fast, has been blamed for fueling the childhood obesity epidemic. Colwell Lipson gives parents tips on how to talk to their children about choosing alternatives. So she suggests throwing costume parties where children pick from a list of charities and make a donation in their names. And on her website, an interactive map shows zip codes where houses have decided to go green, meaning homeowners have pledged to hand out organic or non-candy items. There are also tips on how to dispose of the compost unwanted candy and games for trading candy toward pumpkin points that earn a special activity. People are ready for this, she said. You don't need tradition to tell you how to celebrate. It's up to you to decide. Wow. Loaded.
I'm not ready. I'm not ready for this.
Well, it's up to you to decide. So really, it's, you know, it's their own thing. But I have to say, I visited the website. It's very well designed. It looks very savvy. So I was impressed right away. They gave some alternatives to candy. So let's see. If, you know, you're a child and you're out there and you yell trick or treat, you know, you got all jazzed up in your Spidey outfit, right? How would you feel about getting a honey stick in your bag?
Not happy.
Or how about an organic juice box or organic raisins or possibly organic applesauce snacks?
I'll tell you what that makes me. Instant litterer, okay? Here's the thing. I wrote about this on the blog, and we have a category in the blog called Adults Are Ruining Everything.
Would this fall under that category?
Almost. I think, you know, it's important to separate the idea that, yes, childhood obesity is out of control. We need to stop feeding our faces with junk. But Halloween, does Halloween
have to be the other 364 days, right?
The day that we ruin it all? I mean, it's... I don't know.
Have to have organic raisins on Halloween? Shouldn't you have organic raisins for the other days of the year and then get, you know, like...
That one day you get
to splurge. Right, M&Ms instead.
Right. I just think it's well-intentioned, but kids will hate you, I think.
Well, unless this Corey Colwell Lipson has completely obese children, I think it's just adultitis. I'm sorry. I have to call it out. I mean, she's talking... There's a list of alternatives to candy to put in their bags. And it was like acorn, seashells, toothpaste, stickers, soy crayons.
Toothpaste. That was listed?
There was other very adultitis-driven ones, too.
Toothpaste.
Kids apparently would like toothpaste.
Going to... Trick or treat. They get all dressed up. You were a kindergarten teacher. Kids are excited weeks ahead of this. What they're going to be, what they're going to do. They go to the play. I can't even talk about this. You get trick or treat, open the door, and someone puts toothpaste.
Well, they're going to need it with all that candy.
I used to think that when I would go out when I was a kid And if someone gave me those circus peanuts.
Yes, those orange
that
doorstops.
That was the worst. I thought those, I'm like, come on, people. Let's, just like Jerry Seinfeld says, we want name candy. We want Reese's, we want Snickers. You know, I never envisioned getting toothpaste.
Well, if you know, if you go to these Seattle neighborhoods, there's going to be signs on the door that says green Halloween participant. And
that's
then,
good.
Then you'll know to avoid those.
Yes. So if you see the green Halloween, go away. Just run. It's not going to be worth your time. You're not going to have anything good. Now, here's the thing, okay? Choice is good.
Yes.
Choice is good.
Yeah.
We have another story here that kind of talks about this subject. It's from, what is it, the Fredericksburg Freelance something.
.com or something.
Freelance Star. Yes, okay, it's okay. The Freelance Star. And it's out of Fredericksburg. And it's written by a dietitian. Her name is Jennifer Model, registered dietitian. Okay, here's what she says. I've always been a pro-candy dietitian. This Halloween, though, I'm making some changes. Never fear, neighborhood children. I will not be torturing you with healthy treats like packets of oatmeal, nor am I recommending that people stop doling out candy. But I am mixing some toys in among the candy bars. I'm adding toys in honor of my neighbors who have diabetes, food allergies, or who, gosh darn it, just like toys.
Kids like toys.
Recently, I read when trick-or-treaters got to choose from two plates, one of candy and one of toys, half the children choose toys, and I aim to please. So I went to my local craft and dollar stores, which offer lots of fun, relatively inexpensive things such as whistles, bouncing balls, glittery pencils, colorful stickers, crayons, and temporary tattoos of pirates and witches. I'll still buy some chocolate, too, and let the children choose.
Nice.
Okay, that I can buy.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is what I would like to see. The people who want to give out toothpaste, you have toothpaste and Snicker bars. Let me see how many of those toothpastes are still there.
But those are the people who are not letting them choose.
Right,
they're just giving
just
out
it.
Toothpaste.
Like this right. whole high and mighty adultitis thing, okay? She says, every year parents wrestle with the perennial question, how much should I let my kids eat? If your child doesn't have food allergies or diabetes, I say let her rip. On Halloween night, allow the kids to eat as much as they want. Amen, sister. If they eat themselves sick, they'll earn a valuable lesson about the consequences of overeating. And one night of excess calories won't cause any lasting damage. In the days afterward, giving kids a couple pieces after meals can be a good option. For children who have diabetes or food allergies, however, unbridled access to the candy could be dangerous. As always, parents need to keep children with diabetes count Parents need to help children with diabetes count carbs. They can work small amounts of candy into meal plans that day.
And then, like, the article goes on to talk about if you have an obese child, actually do not restrict them like you think you should.
That could actually be worse.
It could actually be worse. Then they will secretly binge, and then they'll know that they have an issue and all this stuff, and it creates all this psychological damage.
I think, I think what I like about this dietitian, Jennifer, is what's cool about that is that, you know, I think it's good to keep in mind, you know, kids with diabetes, kids with
definitely.
Food allergies, like to be able to have an option for those kids and not just to assume.
Right.
But to force this, today is the day we're all going to be healthy, is ridiculous.
Today is not the day to
okay?
be healthy.
My biggest problem is the 364 other days of the year where parents let their kids eat crap all day long,
processed
let them
foods,
sit in front of a TV
fats.
And watch video games and not go outside. Heck, they're at least outside. They're getting exercise. They're walking around, you know?
When's the last time a lot of these kids went on a family walk together?
Yeah.
You know?
And,
there's bigger issues here, people.
Yeah. So I always just, it just drives me crazy when I see these parents, although well-intentioned, I don't think there's anything evil about them at all. It's just...
Adultitis.
Adultitis. And it's taken some of the fun away from kids. So, I guess that's all I have to say about that.
We just
what do you
rant.
Think? What do you think?
Let us know.
Let us know. Email us, podcast@kimandjason.com.
Are we being completely, unreasonable here? I mean, we're not saying green is bad. I mean, we live on one of the greenest streets in Madison. I mean, we are not saying that's bad at all. Just give us back Halloween. Come on.
Don't take that away from us. Thank you very much. So leave us, what do you think? We want to know what you think. Send us an email at podcast@kimandjason.com. Or leave a message at 608-554-0803. We might even play it on the next show. What do you think about Halloween? Are we taking it away from the kids?
you are in for a treat. Buckle in.
Trick or treat.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe a trick too. But okay, we have an interview here with Chris Riddle, Mr. Halloween. It is not only delightful, but it is a little frightening. I mean, not really, but just to make it fun to say it is.
It's cool.
Yeah. But this guy has more passion for Halloween than people have passion about anything in their life. This is something we can all learn.
He might have more passion than most kids that I've seen.
Yes. So enjoy.
Chris Riddle, the official Halloween trend spotter for American Greetings, a major national manufacturer of Halloween party supplies and cards, has earned himself the nickname Mr. Halloween. He has been a featured guest on HGTV, Fox News, and his Halloween trend observations have been quoted in Time, USA Today, and the New York Times. Chris, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, good morning.
So let's just start right with it. Tell us a little bit about your job, what you do, and how you got to be known as Mr. Halloween.
Well, you know, I guess Mr. Halloween has followed me since my childhood, I guess. Being an artist, I was always drawing, and it just so happened, this is a funny story, way back in, I'd want to say fourth, fifth, sixth grade, all the way through high school, they always had contests in Ohio where you would actually paint the outside of a business in any given city. And so I was always, like, the summer before, you know, you'd start school, I was always, you know, sketching, you know, Halloween, pumpkins and witches and all that. And ended up, from fourth grade all the way through my senior year, I won the contest for the school, and I was always out there painting that. So,
awesome.
So, but, you know, I also have to, I guess, thank my mom, because my mom loved Halloween. And looking back at all the pictures that I have of the family, she was always the one that was most in costume, most smiling, you know, encouraging us to carve pumpkins and, you know, make our own costumes at Halloween. So, you know, as you see all the time on TV where it's a sports person, you know, I got to thank my mom. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's real, real important. So, you know, that kind of followed me then when I started my career at American Greetings. Everyone found out that I actually was collecting Halloween antiques and that I had quite a history of that. And, of course, I have a couple tattoos that are Halloween tattoos.
Oh, cool.
Kind of weird. And my license plate is Scary One. So it's been that for a long time. So in a sense, even though I started as an illustrator on the board at American Greetings and kind of worked myself up to an art director and all that, because I have such a love for the holiday and such an interest, you know, they said, well, you know, why don't you help them every year, you know, with trends? And I think in terms of a year out, where we want to be in the way of color, subject matter, you know, work with as many of the staff as you need to come up with new ideas based on proven subject matter. So it's just a matter of then going out, really starts about the end of August, and kind of looking at a lot of different aspects, mostly women's fashion, because 95% of our products bought by women. And so you're kind of looking at color. We also have some color organizations in New York City that we're a part of, and so, you know, we are members of that, and we fly out to New York and look at color a couple of years out at that point. But then you're just kind of projecting where you want to be the following year. So I have a group of artists that do that, and it's just wonderful to work with such creative people, but to also do something that is a part of your passion as well.
That's cool. So what tattoos do you have?
Well, on my, you know, it's interesting. I also collect from the turn of the century original Wizard of Oz books.
Oh.
Because I love Wizard of Oz. So, of course, in the actual second book, I think it was, Jack was a highly respected member of Oz. And so the one I have on my leg actually has the pumpkin head of Jack and the symbol of OZ.
Okay.
And that's, I have that. And then on my back I do have, like, theater. Theater has a frown and a smiling kind of a face of theater. I have a frowning and a smiling pumpkin.
Oh, that's
and then
cool.
I have the pumpkin patch. I want to call it the leaves and all that kind of go down towards other areas of my back. So it's just something I've had for a while.
Awesome.
But, you know, when you have a passion, you don't mind doing that kind of crazy stuff. So,
right.
Well,
yeah.
My wife wasn't happy, but hey, this is the way it is.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And you had said that this kind of lends into the talk about your antiques and memorabilia. Tell us a little bit about that. I know, you know, how did that all begin and what's your favorite item that you have?
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, my parents passed away young and inherited a lot of boxes. And in there I found so much of my mom's stuff that she had collected from the 40s and kept. And so I said, boy, you know, I know now why she just so loved Halloween as a family-oriented holiday. So in my early 20s, when my wife and I would travel around the United States, one of the first places I'd want to go visit would be the nearest antique store.
Okay.
So even though we might be at Mount Rushmore or we might be in L.A.,
yeah.
I was going to the Yellow Pages looking for antique stores.
Huh.
So, you know, it just started collecting that way, and, you know, I've spent probably well over, you know, close to 30 years that I've been collecting Halloween antiques, way before they got too expensive for people to do it.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's just something I have. I have them up all year round. I have display cases in all parts of the house, and I also have little sneaks of Halloween in the kitchen and the dining room and the bedrooms, just so people know when they visit that, you know, every part of the house is a little bit special about Halloween. And from my standpoint, Halloween antiques especially are a little bit about the loving spirit of those people that actually then kept that pristine Halloween antique over the decades.
Mm-hmm.
So when I end up actually getting something in my possession, it just brings me such joy because I know the love that that person had for the holiday has now entered my house and my collection. So it's really special.
Yeah, that's cool. Do you have a favorite item or something?
Well, you know, I love my Halloween postcards and greeting cards because that's where it gets kind of personal. And, you know, people are talking about the time of year and the harvest and, you know, missing the family. And I can't wait to see you during Christmas. You know, things like that. And it's interesting because the addresses are like, you know, it's not like, you know, you have a long numeral address. It's like 12, you know, Central Street.
Oh,
you know, I mean,
gosh.
It's all it is. And even the telephone numbers, they'll give me a call. The telephone number is like 3 digits.
Oh, my
so,
God.
So, you know, way back in the 20s and 30s, that's all it was. So,
wow.
You know, that kind of thing is very endearing to me because it was special enough that someone kept that close to their heart. And now I have it part of my collection, so it's wonderful.
Cool.
So that's awesome.
So as a trend person, how would you say Halloween has changed over the years and what you've seen?
Yeah, you know, I think it changes, but it changes fashion-wise. It changes in color. But I have to believe that everyone goes back a little bit to their childhood when they think in terms of Halloween. Of course, it's like that at Christmas time as well. And Halloween, I think it just, when you talk about Halloween to people, people bring up their memories about Halloween, they smile.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a little bit about the fact that they remember, you know, when they're children and running around the neighborhood and getting candy and, you know, going to school and possibly in costume and having a great time and also the memories with their family at that time. So I think it's a little bit about looking back. So when I talk in terms of, you know, what's happening in the way of product, it's a little bit of looking back, but looking back with an eye towards where color is going to be a year from now or where style of art is going to be. But yet the subject matter and the warmth in the copy is always going to be there and maybe a little bit from where you've come from.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of what decade were you from, you know, when you were maybe in your as a child or maybe teenage years, and then how can we put that into our product? So
okay.
It's a little bit about looking forward and looking back at the same time.
And it seems like adults really are taking Halloween
back.
Yeah, they really have.
Yeah.
I mean, next to New Year's Eve parties and Super Bowl Sunday, Halloween is the third largest celebration that adults involve themselves in.
Wow.
And it's really become a $5 billion industry. And you can, I kind of see that even a couple of weeks ago, I want to say, where you just go to a suburbia and people are just decking out the outside of their homes
mm-hmm.
with lights and spider webs and all kinds of wonderful things. And I think it's just a wonderful release, I think, for people at this time of year with the pressures they have of work and all of that, to just kind of go back and say, you know what, I remember how this used to be, and as an adult and maybe a part of a wonderful family, I'm going to continue to celebrate this. So I think it's just wonderful,
wonderful
time of year. So.
So what was Halloween like for you as a kid? Obviously, you say it was really great, and you have some awesome memories. Like, what do you remember the most?
Well, you know, it always started probably a week before where, you know, my mom and dad would get one of the largest pumpkins there were, and all of his kids would have carved pumpkins, and we knew they were going to be put out, you know, on the front porch, and he would have to make the yearly scarecrow in the front yard,
right.
and you know, things like that, and, you know, you know, the, you know, my mom would make apple pies and things like that, so you'd have that smell in the house. And of course, it's all about the smell outside anyway, because, you know, with the turning leaves and the way the light and the sun changes outside as well, it creates warm shadows at this time of year. And you can tell how excited I am just by talking about it, but it's what you see visually and the smells and everything else, I think, that, you know, gets you going. And then all of a sudden, it's a couple days before Halloween, and of course, time has changed, and it's now dark out at 6 o'clock. Yep. You know, it's the anticipation of going out and just running yourself ragged, trick-or-treating with your friends. It's just wonderful memories, so,
yeah.
You know.
That's
and
awesome.
Then as you get older, it's then about, you know, watching, going to the movies, of course, and I remember as a child, going to horror movies, and they were black and white at that time, and being scared to death, and you know, now, of course, it's all DVDs and all that, and what's on TV and cable television, but, you know, if it's already out there every night, there's movies out and on TV, and it's just, you know, it's just a wonderful time of year, so.
It is.
Some great stuff.
So what about these days? What do you do for Halloween? What's your favorite Halloween activity now?
Yeah, I have to say, you know, you know, I'm running around now as an adult. I mean, there are probably three or four different neighborhoods that I need to go to. I only have 2.5 hours, and I have my video camera, my normal camera. My wife is with me. We're running around. I'm trying to photograph families. I'm photographing the way people decorate the outside of their homes. I'm invited to inside homes now because people know I'm coming every year. So they need they need me to come in, and they take pictures with me and their family and all of that. It's kind of fun, but for me, it's always about going out on trick-or-treat night and just hearing the laughter of the children. Mm-hmm. And just hearing, you know, the wind blowing through the trees. And hopefully it's going to be a night where it's cloudless and there's a moon out, you know, casting a wonderful shadow on everything. Oh, my God, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's coming soon.
Yeah, it's coming soon, yes.
Yeah. We always end our interviews with a question that gets you thinking back to childhood. So,
which is not too hard for you this time of year.
It's no, it's
so
not.
A very easy one. But what was your favorite Halloween costume as a kid?
Well, I have to say, well, you know, there was a time in my life when I was a teenager where I'd get pretty decked out.
Okay.
And I think one time I was a werewolf, and I spent hours and hours and hours. And this is before you really bought rubber masks and things like that.
Yeah.
I really made myself look really, really good. And I would actually kind of like maybe be on all fours a lot, and then I'd come up and I'd be on my haunches. But I was so good that I'd scare everybody away.
Oh.
And so, you know, so I just had to go in the house at that point because, you know, my mom and dad were going, you know, no one wants to come to our house this year.
Oh.
And so I ended up having to go out because they didn't want me around. But yet from my standpoint, I created such a buzz in the neighborhood that everybody wanted me to go up to their house and, you know, be part of it. So I have to say, you know, that aspect of it. So, you know, after that, I kind of calmed it down a little bit. You know, didn't do as much. So,
it must
be
pretty
so
accurate,
fun.
Chris, if people were, like, scared of it. Yeah.
Oh, I know. But, you know, it's all about the trick and the treat.
Yeah.
You know, it's, people don't remember that, you know, when I always tell kids when they used to come to the house, you know, what kind of trick do you know? Because it's trick or treat. Do you know why you're saying trick or treat?
Uh-huh.
You know, and all that. So, you know, it's just a little bit of that history that a lot of kids don't know. But
so, tell us about that. What was the original concept behind that?
Well, you know, that, you know, boy, you know, Halloween goes back so far. But, you know, I would have to say, you know, way back in New England, I'm going to say with this country right now, way back at, I think in 1860s. I mean, you know, there were farms back then, and you know, people had a lot more parties back then. But, you know, you had to come to a barn party and all this kind of thing, and you had to entertain in order to get anything, whether it be, you know, the food or it's part of the harvest festival. So, you know, people put on skits. You know, people had to do things. They just couldn't come. Of course, you came and you had all kinds of things that you brought in the way of food, but, you know, you had to come with something in the way of an entertainment. So it's a little bit about the trick and trick or treat, and then you get a treat. So then that kind of came down then into New England that kind of said to people, well, you know, is it a joke? Do you have to come in and say something to someone to make them laugh? What kind of trick is it? Are you a magical, you're doing something magical or something when you ask for a trick or treat, and then you have to do something in order to get a treat. So it kind of goes back to that. So anyway, you know, I don't know if people even know that these days, but it's so funny to hear kids going trick or treat. You don't even know why they do it anymore.
Yeah.
No, it's just the magic words. Whatever they can do to get candy, that it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, it's been so great talking with you, Chris. Thank you so much. I know this is a very busy time of year for you, so we appreciate you taking a few
minutes.
Very good.
And you have a wonderful Halloween to both of you.
We
you
will.
You too.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks, Chris.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, anyone who has, Halloween tattoos is serious about Halloween.
Yes.
Like, that was...
Down his back, the leaves and everything. I want to see
that
him.
That was
That's
cool.
So
it's
cool.
funny, like, how he admitted, you know, his wife is, you know, he's kind of taken over some of the rooms of the house and, of course, the tattoos and all that stuff, but, what a fun job, huh?
Yeah.
I think that
just
goes to show
the
you
giddiness.
The passion. When you just follow your passion, let your passion come out, that you can be led to some really cool opportunities in your life. And, what a great example of that.
Yeah, if he would have snuffed out that excitement around the halls of American Greeting while he was doing his illustrations for cards or whatever, he would not be Mr. Halloween today, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that just sharing that really opens some
and
cool doors.
And how about this? How important is it for parents to create just memories with their kids? That's one thing that kept coming back when I was listening to him, is how much he held on to his wonderfully warm memories from childhood, from his mom, from his parents, from the traditions that they did. And that's such a big part of what he's doing now. You can hear it. And so, you know, that's so important as families, that we need to get back to building those traditions of fun that can only be spent with time.
Right.
You know, a lot of times you buy stuff to make up for the time, but, you know, it takes time to build a scarecrow in your yard.
Yes.
It takes time to make a jack-o'-lantern. And when you can set up that foundation, there's no telling what kind of positive things you're setting up for your kids down the line, well into adulthood.
Right.
So
we
I think that's
careers
a bigger
are all
lesson.
Built on test scores and homework. And really, maybe it's about the apple pie or the leaves in the front yard. You know, it's like, who knows how it all adds up.
So, really important stuff.
Today, one of these lucky contestants will win his or her weight in fish right here on Wheel of Fish.
Oh, goody, goody. I've done a good thing, and I get a prize.
All right, this month's promotion is inspired by the last question from our interview from Chris. What was your favorite Halloween costume as a kid? Now, I know this is one of those questions that puts that little smile on everyone's face, because it took Chris a while to think of one.
Everyone's got one, though.
Yeah, so tell us, you know, email us, call us, leave a voicemail, podcast@kimandjason.com, or call 608-554-0803. You may win a $20 gift certificate to the lemonade stand. So definitely let us know and share those memories with us.
Welcome to kimandjason.com.
Supply of misinformation is Mr. Know-It-All.
For the Kim and Jason update portion of our show, we have some fun and exciting news. I had a call the other day. A delivery guy said he had a 800-pound order for us
to drop off.
Yeah, and I was like, what in the world? Did we order an elephant? You know, what did we order? Well, it was books. We got a new book in, which is very exciting. So we have the new Escape Plan Journal. If you're familiar, we've talked a lot about the Escape Plan, the 40 days.
For quite some time.
The Escape Plan Journal is a 40-day plan to help you annihilate adultitis in your life. And it is a journal, so you get a chance to contribute your own thoughts and reflections on how your participating in the 40 challenges, just as we did. There's some contributions from people all over the world, including, you know, outside the country, which is exciting. And so we're just pumped about it because it's been a while in the making, and we've had a lot of requests for it in journal form so people could record their own thoughts about it.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting how it turned out. It's fun. It's at the spiral bound, so you can kind of take it with you and bend it and write on it. And
kind of a field journal for the Escape Adulthood book almost.
Yeah, and another thing that's interesting is at the lemonade stand, if you place an order of $50 or more, you actually get the Escape Plan journal for free.
Awesome.
So that might be something if you're looking to do some shopping on the lemonade stand. We've been adding like tons of new products there.
Yes.
So you definitely want to check that out. And if you get $50 worth of stuff, you can get the book, which is a $25 value, for free. So
wow.
Little extra
almost
bonus.
Almost like
there.
Half off then.
Yeah, pretty much. Something
order.
Like that. The other thing is our first printed edition of our magazine, Escape Adulthood, came out a few weeks ago.
Yes.
And it is really turned out really well. We've gotten a lot of good response for it. It's got some neat articles in there from Mark Sanborn. We
yes.
interviewed him. He is the author of The Fred Factor.
Huge.
Huge
book.
Bestseller.
Mm-hmm.
And got some neat tips about health from Jill Fleming. She's a registered dietitian and just really great stuff.
Yeah.
So what the deal is with that is it's free for members of Club K&J.
Yeah.
So anyone who's a member of Club K&J will have already gotten it. And there'll be a new issue coming out in a couple months. And, of course, you can get the free issues. Download them for free, the digital version.
Yes.
So we'll have a link to that in the show notes. And finally, just wanted to announce that we finally got together a speaking video, kind of a demo that kind of highlights a little bit about what we do on
yes,
the road.
Yes, our mission
and
message.
That turned out pretty good. We'll have a link to that. So anyone who's curious about what our speaking programs look like, what are we about, take a listen and watch that, and you'll get a good idea of what we're up to.
Yep.
So that's about it for the update. We always have some neat things going on.
There it is. The holy grail of Christmas gifts. The Red Ryder 200-shot range model air rifle.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
That is so cool.
Cool.
Oh, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Our cool thing this show is a neat kit that we have on our lemonade stand called Pumpkin Art. And it's one of those cool, little book kits. It's got a little 32-page book that offers some creative techniques for fall and nighttime themes with unique jack-o'-lantern faces. And it comes with three little tools to help you, decorate your pumpkin, and some colored sheets of cellophane, some orange cellophane to put in there.
Inside.
Yeah,
that's
and
cool.
Then one of those little tea lights so you can actually light your jack-o'-lantern. Which,
so it's everything you need except the pumpkin, huh?
Exactly. And it's hard to mail pumpkins because they might rot and all that
yeah,
stuff. So
yeah.
Basically this
that
can...
Up at home.
Man. Yeah, get that at your local grocery store or whatever. But this will get you set up to create that jack-o'-lantern that will be either frightening or funny or whatever you want it to be on your door stoop?
Step.
Do you like the
goop? What's your take
I
on
do.
That?
I do. Okay. When I taught kindergarten, we would have an activity where we would carve pumpkins with parent volunteers and stuff. And the kids all, and most of them, there's always one or two kids that were a little like, but most of them, we would put it in the sand and water table, the sensory table.
The seeds and all
mm-hmm,
that.
And the gunk and the guts, and could only have it in there for a bad day because then it gets pretty nasty. But it just slithers through your fingers and you have the contrast and the texture between the seeds and the sliminess and
someone's passionate.
I am passionate. I want to do that. I mean, why can only kids play in sensory tables?
I don't know. I'm not sure that's a rule.
Okay.
But
anyway, back to the cool thing.
Yes.
Sorry. So anyway, if you need to do a jack-o'-lantern or, why can jack-o'-lanterns only last before Halloween?
Make
next few weeks. Yeah, you could really get creative. So this would be a fun kit to get you started. It's on our lemonade stand, and check it out.
Well, it's time for the mindbender answer.
Okay.
What were jack-o'-lanterns made out of originally? And you said gourds.
Yes. And okay. I was also kind of thinking maybe like sweet potatoes or something.
Sweet potatoes. Okay. Well, it's neither.
Okay.
So here we go. This is interesting. We learned a little bit about the origins of trick-or-treat from Chris.
Yeah.
And so here's the origins of the jack-o'-lanterns. The first jack-o'-lanterns were made in Ireland out of hollowed-out turnips.
Turnips.
What? A piece of coal was inserted into the hollow, and the lantern was meant to guide the way of poor old Jack, who wasn't welcome in heaven, but was also barred from entering hell for tricking the devil. According to legend, the devil gave this crude lamp to Jack so that he could walk the earth forever in limbo.
Ooh.
When the Irish brought this tradition to America, they apparently decided that pumpkins were much easier to carve than turnips, and the modern-day jack-o'-lantern was born.
Well, I agree. Turnips seem tiny, don't they?
Yeah. It seems difficult to...
Yeah.
Halloween would be a lot different. Our turnips are, like, red, right?
Yeah.
So it would be interesting if the whole color scheme of Halloween would be different.
That's true.
Without the pumpkin.
That's true. Orange. Pumpkins, I don't know where the orange, if that's all about the pumpkins or if the orange came from another route. I don't know.
So there you go.
Chris would know that, I bet.
Original jack-o'-lanterns came from turnips.
What's up, Doc? Now, this won't hurt a bit.
Today's prescription to help you treat your adultitis is to do something to celebrate Halloween.
A trick or a
treat. It
could
be anything.
Yep.
Wear a mask to work, watch a scary movie, decorate your front porch or stoop.
Stump.
Hand out candy to trick-or-treaters. Halloween is tailor-made for escaping adulthood.
If you don't do it
no
at this time of year.
There's no other strings attached to it other than having fun and breaking out of the day-to-day doldrums that you have. So make sure that you take advantage of it.
Well, that's it for today's show. Be sure to check out escapeadulthood.com for today's show notes featuring links to some of the things we talked about here today. For Jason, this is Kim signing out from Madison, Wisconsin. Thanks for listening, and remember, it's never too late to have a second childhood.
It's a little childish and stupid, but then so is high school.
Ha 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 ha!